So I want to begin by asking you a question this morning, which might seem like kind of a strange question, but bear with me. What helps you to decide what to wear in the morning? Now, some people are really good, and they think about this ahead of time, and they plan their wardrobe accordingly. That's very impressive to me. Others pick their clothing out the day of, that would be me, in a mad frenzy to get out the door. Either or, deciding ahead of time or the day of, it's fair to say that we take several things into consideration when we decide what to wear. Because whether we like it or not, what we wear is perceived to define us. We dress for work, for school, for play, for exercise, for our vocation. For instance, now that it's really winter, while we're having our first cup of tea or coffee in the morning, we might turn on the Weather Channel on the television, or if you're like me, you have an app for that. So you tap the screen and on your smartphone, and it tells you the current temperature. I see some of you smiling. You probably have the same app. Knowing the temp will decide whether to wear a heavy sweater, or maybe we'll layer, or if we're living in hope, because we do live in Michigan, we might wear our favorite summer outfit just one more time. If we have a sense of what our day holds as far as our activities go, indoors or outside, we might plan for that. If we're taking a walk or going running, we might wear hiking boots or running shoes. Or maybe we'll have to shovel the walk and the driveway first, so we decide on those winter boots with the really good traction. Or maybe we are going to spend most of the day inside or at home. Perhaps we're a stay-at-home parent or feeling unwell and we can't make it into work, or we're lucky enough to work from home, so we put our sweatpants on, those favorite wool socks that have a hole in the heel or the toe, and that comfy old ratty sweatshirt from college, or that trip to the Grand Canyon we took 15 years ago that we'll put on in that morning. I like those outfits. Or maybe you're going to a meeting to give that presentation you're really proud of and that you've been working so hard on, so you decide to wear a dress shirt and your favorite tie. Or on the flip side, you suspect you're going to have a tough day, so you wear that jacket in your favorite shade of blue, the one that really brings out the color of your eyes. Wearing this outfit, you feel really good about yourself, more confident in your ability to do what you need to do that day, or as my mother says, putting your best foot forward. Or maybe you're in the armed forces, or you're an emergency responder, or you happen to wear a clergy shirt. You still have to decide what to wear given what your duties might be for that day. Whether it'll be FDUs or BDUs, those of you who've been in the military know what I'm talking about. Tactical or station shirts, and those of you who are clergy, tab or band. Perhaps when you woke up today, you decided what to wear based on your coming to church this morning. People who are new to St. Michael's and the Episcopal Church have asked if there are expectations of clothing style or type here at church. I've had people ask me blue jeans or a suit and tie, flip-flops or heels, casual or dressy, to which I say all are good. Clothing is good at church. According to yesterday's New York Times, Americans spend over $340 billion on clothes and shoes, more than double what we spend on new cars every year. What we put on every day is obviously pretty important if these numbers are any indication. When Paul wrote his letter to the church in Rome, a church he had never visited, though this letter is the longest of any of the epistles and the last written of his lifetime, he was writing to a group of strangers. Written at the end of his life and offered at this, the beginning of our season of Advent, when we anticipate the coming of Christ into the world, Paul writes of some pretty questionable things the Romans must have been putting on. Adultery, murder, stealing, coveting or wanting what they did not have. One can also hear Paul speak of his own human need for transformation when he writes, "Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ," which is all well and good, and it sounds beautiful. But have you noticed that the Christian life contains many mysteries, one of which is understanding in a real-time way certain phrases like putting on the armor of light. What does that mean, to put on the armor of light? In this, Paul is asking them and us to wake from a dulling sleep, spent in self-indulgence, wrongfulness, infidelity, false beliefs, and selfish thoughts and behaviors. Putting on the armor of light means choosing to wear a garment fashioned out of the brightness of harmony and not the dullness of conflict. Putting on the armor of light means to shine with the grace of humility and not the power of ego. So given this deeper understanding, what does Paul mean by asking them and us to choose to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? What does that mean? Do you remember a few years ago those bracelets that we were all wearing? Do you remember the initials on those bracelets? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means to have a faith of charity instead of a legalistic faith. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means to forbear with one another. I love that scriptural word, forbearance. It means to show patience and self-control, restraint and tolerance. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ means being like Jesus. Simply put, it means to choose to wear the teachings of Jesus as if you were putting on a garment, and it was imbued with the character, the disposition, the attitude, the habits, and the love of Jesus. Be like Jesus. So on this day, it is the first Sunday of Advent, I'd like you to turn to page 211 in your prayer books. Page 211, and we're going to say a prayer together on this, the first Sunday of Advent, which kind of ties all of this together from our reading in Paul's epistle to the church in Rome, and this, the first Sunday of Advent. It's on page 211, and there on the page it says, first Sunday of Advent. These are collects, which is a way to collectively gather our prayers together as a community. That's why it's called a collect. Page 211. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So when you are deciding what to put on tomorrow, take a moment to remember. Take a moment to remember and choose to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you be like Christ. And may all God's people say, Amen.